digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
You helped terrorists acquire weaponized nerve gas!
I told you we were going to trigger the canisters once the separatists reached their base in Central Asia.
Dick, Walt, you got into bed with these people and now they're threatening to use the gas on American citizens.
What do we do about Walt? You keep him out of sight long enough for us to construct a credible narrative.
Are you talking about a cover-up? Walt Cummings was complicit in David Palmer's assassination.
If we go public with Cummings, the credibility of this office will be destroyed. Mr. President.
What is it, Mike?
I think you should come here.
What's going on?
Just come here, sir.
Lynn?
What is it?
Yeah, I know you're busy, but I need to see you, please.
Oh!
We need you to do some work for us, and we need it done fast.
Get the canisters!
You have to cut precisely 10 centimeters from the bottom of the casing.
You and I need a place where we can meet.
I'll call you back in 5 minutes.
Logan's asked Jack to be reinstated on a provisional basis. He's been given full autonomy and access.
We've got a possible intercept on Erwick. A man named Jacob Rossler. He's a software programmer indicted for high security code infiltration. Never convicted.
Copy that. Federal agent!
Rossler is in custody. I repeat, Rossler is in custody.
Answer.
Yes?
We have the identification key.
No! No! Is he gonna make it?
No. He's dead.
Rossler was our only link to those canisters. Herbert's gonna call here any minute, and he's gonna expect to talk to him.
The following takes place between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m.
Lynn McGill enters through the plate glass door into CTU. He stops, nervously straightens his tie, and wipes the blood from the corner of his mouth. He takes a deep breath and heads in, meeting Bill Buchanan.
What's the situation?
Rossler's dead, shot by his female companion.
What does that do to our plan?
We intended to use Rossler to lead us to Erwick and the Centaux.
How?
Rossler was going to sell Erwick a chip that would enable him to activate the canisters and release the Centaux.
And we put a tracker on the chip?
Yes, and follow Erwick back to the canisters. Obviously, that plan has to change.
Has Erwick set a time and place for the meeting yet?
No. We've also picked up increased chatter related to the canisters.
Related how?
Erwick's been putting out feelers to terrorist organizations with sleeper cells established here. He's asking for help launching nerve gas attacks on larger targets across the country.
There's a call coming in on Rossler's phone. We assume it's Erwick. What do you want to do?
Put it on the speaker.
Jack, this has to be Erwick. CTU's on the line.
Ready?
Jack answers Rossler's phone.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Roof of the parking garage, on the corner of White Oak and Madison. One of my men will meet you. Look for a blue van.
What do you think? I think we got a break. Give me the chip.
Curtis prepares the chip. Jack phones CTU.
CTU operations.
This is Jack Bauer. Let me speak to Bill Buchanan.
Jack Bauer on the line.
Buchanan.
Bill, did you get that?
Yes, Erwick is sending someone else to the meeting. That's a problem.
No, I don't think so. It means I can pass myself off as Rossler. We can keep the meeting. We can control this thing.
Rossler and the man Erwick is sending may know each other.
No, he said look for a blue van. He wouldn't have said that if they knew each other.
It's a big risk, Jack.
Jack, they will probably kill you. Even if they do think you're Rossler, ties up a loose end.
Well, right now, we don't have a choice. If we're lucky, this guy will take the chip back to Erwick, and that will lead us to the nerve gas.
Audrey shakes her head.
All right, Jack.
Do it.
Thank you. Chloe, Edgar, Jack is going to need you to tech support him through the installation of that chip.
We'll pull up the schematics.
Already on it.
All right, the chip you'll be giving him is genuine, but it's useless without the correct unlock code. The tracker is built into the chip itself.
Okay. Thanks.
How do you want to play this?
Passive, non-threatening. I want these people to think I'm scared of them.
All right, get tack teams ready. We're on the move. You'll need a new comm unit with a fresh battery. I'll be patching the CTU at all times.
Okay.
With this, we'll be able to hear everything within a 20-foot radius of you. I'll be watching your back.
Thanks. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
He'll be waiting for you there. Let me know if there's a problem.
One of the gang is working on a canister.
Do we have the new chip yet?
No. I sent Polakoff and Komar to meet Rossler. He should have it in a few minutes. Anything?
The remote will always be the most effective way of triggering the canisters.
I understand, but what if the new chip doesn't work? I need options in case Rossler fails us.
There may be a workaround, but someone will have to be on site with the canister.
Get it done.
Mike Novick enters Logan's office.
Excuse me, Mr. President. I thought you should know Walt's body has been moved to the Secret Service outbuilding for the time being. You realize, sir, we still need to issue a public statement about his death.
No statement till his wife's been notified.
Well, of course. Sir, if you don't mind me saying, I think perhaps we have an opportunity here. This statement you and Mrs. Logan plan to release, disclosing the fact that Walt was part of a conspiracy to supply the terrorists with nerve gas, and that he was involved in David Palmer's assassination.
What's your point, Mike?
I'm sorry, sir. I wonder if his death might render all that moot.
Logan looks sharply round at Mike. They exchange a shrewd look.
Go on.
Very little will come from dragging Walt's name through the mud when he's not here to answer for what he's done. And it would be devastating for this country, particularly if, God forbid, that nerve gas is used against us.
What are you suggesting?
We could attribute Walt's suicide to a despondency over the day's events, overwork, personal issues.
Let him go out with some dignity, you mean, and not as a traitor?
Yes, sir.
My wife will have a considerable problem with that.
Well, I respect First Lady's moral conviction, but this is your decision, not hers.
Logan turns away, his pale blue eyes pensive. Martha Logan works at a laptop. 2:07. Evelyn enters the room, bringing Mrs. Logan a glass of water.
Is there anything else I can get you, Mrs. Logan?
No, thank you, Evelyn. I'm fine.
Can I ask your advice on something?
Of course.
Evelyn closes the door.
Some of the staff are asking questions.
About?
Walt Cummings' death.
Evelyn, I'm helping prepare a statement right now that the president's going to give later. It'll explain everything.
Evelyn hangs her head.
Is there something else, Evelyn?
Yes.
What? What is it?
Why did he do it? Why did Walt kill himself? I deserve to know. A violent thing happened to someone that I work with every day. Someone who had no visible signs of depression. What if it wasn't suicide? What if we're in danger? I don't know what to think.
It was suicide.
How can you be so sure?
Evelyn, listen to me. What I'm going to say to you has to stay in this room until it's made public. Do you understand? You do understand. Even his family doesn't know the truth yet.
Okay.
Walt Cummings was a traitor.
What?
I'm not going to go into any details, but suffice it to say that Walt was responsible for some of the awful things that have happened today.
I can't believe that.
The president just found out. I suppose that Walt didn't want to face the humiliation of a long public trial. And he decided to kill himself.
Was he working with the terrorists?
Our enforcement agencies are trying to figure that out.
End of part one. Part two, 2:09. A silver saloon turns smartly into a gateway. A black 4x4 pulls up. At the wheel sits Curtis.
That's arrived at the rendezvous point.
Maintain your distance.
In his rearview mirror, Curtis sees a blue van. It passes him and then turns right into the same gateway taken by the Silver Saloon.
All right, heads up. We have a blue van entering the parking garage. License plate, 6 Quebec 4 9951. Repeat, 6 Quebec 4 9951.
Running the plates.
The saloon climbs up the spiral ramp of a multi-story car park. Jack is at the wheel.
He's heading up the ramp towards you, Jack.
Couldn't get a visual on who's inside.
The van moves up the ramp. Edgar at CTU.
I have a hit from DMV. The plates don't match the vehicle. They probably stole the van and put clean plates on it.
The blue van arrives on the same level as Jack. In the cab sit two men. Jack looks extremely wary. The men park the van and climb out.
2 men are getting out. Showtime.
At CTU, Audrey looks anxious.
Rossler! I was told there'd only be one of you.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, I don't like surprises.
Relax. Got your money?
Let me see it.
When I see the chip.
Jack opens a small box and shows them the chip. The terrorist unzips a bag and reveals a stack of cash. 211, Bill Buchanan and his staff listen in at CTU.
Eric says you have to install it.
Where's the remote trigger?
Let's go.
Let's go.
The terrorists open the back of the van and beckon Jack over. He complies, apparently nervous, and kneels down to get to work.
Okay, Jack, you need to remove the backing.
Jack works to Chloe's instructions via his tiny earpiece. He looks up at the lead terrorist.
Inside there are 5 jumpers. Toggle the one in the middle to the left, then pry out the old chip, but do it gently. When it's out, clear your throat or something.
Jack's fingers work deftly as if he were a genuine expert. He removes the chip.
Okay. Insert the new chip into the slot. Press the reset button directly under it. Screw the back on, and you're done.
Jack puts in the new chip under the intense gaze of both the terrorists. He looks up at them and then slides the backing plate back into position on the trigger. He screws the plate down.
Trigger's been reconfigured. You can activate the canisters now.
You better hope it works. You're coming with us, just to make sure.
Jack is overpowered and forced into the van.
What are they doing?
We're on the move.
The terrorists prepare to drive away.
This isn't the deal I made with Erwick. I reconfigured the trigger. You're supposed to just give me the money.
Standing by to move in.
Hold on, Curtis.
Erwick knows who Jack is. He saw him at the airport. They'll kill him.
By the time Jack gets close enough to be recognized, attack teams will move in.
No, we need to move in now. Take the 2 terrorists and make them tell us where Erwick is.
We don't have time. Erwick will know something's wrong. We'll lose him. This is our only shot.
Bill.
Bill looks away uneasily. Jack sits in the rear of the blue van. Curtis, in his 4x4, observes the van turning right out of the car park exit.
Are we letting them take Jack? I'm awaiting orders.
No, stand down, Curtis. Take no action. Reassemble the attack teams and mount a follow operation.
All teams, stand by. Roger that, sir.
Curtis moves off in the same direction as the van. At CTU, Audrey paces. Lynn McGill looks grave.
Lynn's right. Whatever happens, Jack can handle it. He has to.
218. The terrorists drive. Curtis drives. Audrey paces. Jack looks grim. Martha Logan sits looking pensive.
Come in. Excuse me, Mrs. Logan.
What is it?
Laura Campbell gave me the press release to give to you. I'm confused.
About what?
It's not what you said. They're calling Walt Cummings a hero, not a traitor.
I don't believe this.
Logan to Novick.
Well, is CTU any closer?
They're mounting an undercover operation, which they hope will lead them to the canisters.
Hope is not good enough. We want results. You need to make that abundantly clear to them, Mike.
I believe they're doing everything that can be done, sir.
I just read the statement you issued about Walt's death. Stress due to overwork robbed this country of one of its most dedicated public servants. His work with this administration has... You're covering everything up.
Oh, we're outside.
Don't go anywhere, Mike. Your fingerprints are all over this. Charles, we worked on this together. I thought we both agreed that you needed to go public about Walt's involvement with everything that is going on today.
I know you're disappointed, but I think it's obvious that Walt taking his own life changes things.
What's obvious is that this is a pack of lies.
Mrs. Logan, full disclosure would have been necessary to ensure Walt faced justice for what he'd done. With his death making that a non-issue, it was decided this course was best for his family.
Oh, don't. You don't care about his family. You decided that this was best for you. But Charles, you
Martha,
are dead
wrong. That's enough. I made my decision. And I'm the president.
Which means it's your job to tell the truth. Even when it's ugly. And if you don't, I will.
If you feel so strongly about telling the truth, you can start with Walt's wife when she arrives.
Suzanne's coming here?
To collect her husband's body. So you can be the one to tell her that the real reason that Walt took the coward's way out was because he disgraced himself and he betrayed his country.
Mike looks on approvingly.
All right. It'll be very painful. But it's the right thing to do.
Martha throws a look at Mike and crumples the new press release.
We're 1 mile behind Jack, heading west on Nordoff, just passing Sepulveda.
Maintain your distance. We've got them on satellite. We're not going to lose them.
Where are we going?
What does it matter?
I have another appointment. I just want to know if I'm going to make it.
We're almost there. How long it takes once we get there is up to you.
What do you mean?
I told you, we need to make sure the remote trigger works on the canisters.
God, you've got one of the canisters with you.
The rope wants a field test.
I'm not going to be within 50 miles of that thing when it goes off.
We have masks.
What's the target?
The terrorist disdains to answer and simply covers the canister back up.
Curtis, are you reading this?
Yeah. Do you want me to reposition the TAC team for an intercept?
No, not till we have a visual on the canister.
They stay on Nordoff. Up ahead, there's an industrial park and two retail complexes. They just turned north. That's not good.
What is it, Chloe? What's the potential target?
Sunrise Hills Mall.
Edgar, Audrey, Buchanan, and McGill exchange horrified looks. Jack sits in the back of the van, looking deeply concerned. The blue van cruises into a large parking lot. Close on its tail come two large black 4x4s. Curtis sits at the wheel of one of them.
Curtis, the intended target is the Sunrise Hills Mall. Repeat, the intended target is the Sunrise Hills Mall.
Uploading schematics of the mall and surrounding streets to TAC teams now.
All right, all teams, stand by for positioning. We'll set up on the second level of the parking structure.
2:22. The blue van rounds a corner into another parking area. The lead terrorist turns around to speak to Jack.
This is it.
Curtis pulls up. Beside him stops the other 4x4, which is full of flak-jacketed SWAT team members. Curtis pulls out binoculars and gets a bead on the terrorists.
Curtis, do you have Jack on visual?
Yeah, he and the two hostiles are in the south parking lot. Alpha team, take a position on the perimeter of the lot. Bravo team, I want your plainclothes agents in position at the mall doors.
How are you going to get the canister inside?
Through the front door. Anyone asks? We're working on the air conditioning.
I didn't agree to this. I'm not going in.
Yes, you are.
Jack is trying to stall for time. What are we waiting for?
There are hundreds of video cameras in there. This entire country will know what we look like in the next few hours.
We want your leaders to know who did this to them.
It's your fight. The deal I made with Urwick was to sell him the chip, not to get my face all over the news.
Urwick prefers to keep you alive, but only if you cooperate. Now hand me the jackets.
Jack, we're moving the TAC teams in to recover the canisters before you go inside the mall.
Fine, let's get this over with.
I'll let you know as soon as we're in position.
Sending redeployment orders now.
Hold off on that.
What? Lynn, we have got to stop them before they get inside.
If we move in now, Urwick will know that we're onto him and we won't be led to the other canisters.
Are you talking about letting them go through with this? Sacrificing the lives of all those people?
I'm talking about accepting the damage that one canister can do versus what the other 19 can do.
This is insane, Bill.
Bill's not in charge here. I am.
We need to call the president.
Let's go.
Jack and the terrorists, dressed in maintenance workers' jackets, move briskly across the parking lot towards the shopping mall, carrying the canister in a toolbox. Curtis keeps them under surveillance through his binoculars. ...224, end of part two. Part three, 229.
I just got into the mall's internal video surveillance server. We should be able to see Jack.
Audrey, Bill, Lynn, and Edgar look to the screen on which Chloe has brought up the images. In the busy mall, Jack and the two terrorists walk along carrying their deadly payload. Audrey speaks to Jack.
Jack, we're still waiting for the president to call. I'll let you know as soon as we have him.
Jack has been looking horrified at a group of kids with balloons. The terrorists now hustle him through into a service area.
Get the security guard. Knock on the glass.
Jack obeys. Jack gestures to the guard, who looks puzzled, but gets up from his desk and opens the door of his office.
What are you guys doing here?
Servicing the HVAC units.
We getting a call about that?
I don't know what to tell you. We did.
You got paperwork?
Just a minute.
Jack winces as the long-haired terrorist callously murders the guard. 2:30, the two terrorists move over to a large metal duct and consult some kind of plan.
Will this work?
Yeah.
Do it. Throw me the bag. And your jacket.
Jack complies. The lead terrorist opens the toolbox containing the canister. The long-haired terrorist applies a metal cutting tool to the air duct.
Mr. Buchanan, the president is on line one.
Put him through.
Yes, sir.
Jack, we have the president on the line. I'm going to patch you in.
Go ahead.
Mr. President, this is Lynn McGill. You also have Bill Buchanan, Audrey Raines, Chloe O'Brien, and Edgar Stiles in the room.
Go ahead.
Sir, we're calling you for a decision on a critical operational matter.
What is it?
Jack Bauer is currently undercover with some of the terrorists. They're expecting Jack to help them release a single canister of Centox nerve gas in the Sunrise Hills shopping mall where they are right now.
Well, then arrest them. What's the problem?
Sir, the problem is, if we don't maintain Jack's cover, there's no guarantee that they'll lead us back to the other 19 canisters.
Do you mean actually let them release the Centox? Are you out of your mind?
Mr. President, Bill Buchanan. I had the same initial reaction. Then I looked at our updated scenarios. With the help of other terrorist organizations, the remaining 19 canisters could be deployed at other, more crowded public areas such as
subway stations, hospitals, and sports arenas, sir.
The loss of life could exceed hundreds of thousands of people.
My God.
The long-haired terrorist completes cutting a large square hole in the duct. The lead man waits with the canister.
Bring it over here.
2:32. Jack looks on in horror as they place the canister inside the duct.
What kind of casualties are you predicting at the mall?
We don't have exact numbers, but based on our video surveillance, our best guess is between 800 and 900.
Sir, many of them are children.
Can't you evacuate the mall?
Not without the terrorists knowing.
The public will not tolerate the government's complicity in this.
They wouldn't know, sir. This would be a covert decision. We're monitoring the terrorists. We know with 100% certainty that when they leave the mall, they're going back to the remaining canisters.
Mike Novick watches Logan inscrutably as the president agonizes over this appalling dilemma.
What's your recommendation?
Bill Buchanan and I agree that the greatest good would be served by allowing them to release this single canister of Centaux nerve gas.
And I believe, sir, that we have no right to sanction the deaths of innocent people. We should take our chances, interrogate these men, and find the location of the other canisters.
Back at the mall.
Are we ready? Almost.
Logan closes his eyes.
Mr. President, we're running out of time. We need your decision, sir.
This is a field operation. It's up to you.
With all due respect, Mr. President, it's not. We don't have the legal authority to make this decision. Only you do.
You're putting me in a terrible position.
Hold on.
Mike.
CTU has laid out the facts well. You have to make the call.
Logan's face seems to acknowledge that the buck has finally stopped with him.
All right.
The terrorists are forcing us to make a tragic choice.
I'll go along with your assessment. Let them release the Centaux, but you better find those other canisters, or those people will have died in vain.
2:34. Audrey looks on aghast.
Pull our attack teams out of the mall. Jack, you heard the president's decision.
Let's go.
Put your masks on.
Jack pulls on a gas mask.
I'm going down to the valve.
What's the unlock code?
Jack, the unlock code is Alpha Kilo Charlie. I repeat, Alpha Kilo Charlie.
Come on, what's the unlock code?
Alpha Kilo Charlie, Jack.
Echo, Bravo Charlie!
McGill shakes his head as Jack goes off message again.
Enter the correct code, Jack. That's an order. Jack, this is a direct order from the president. Now enter the correct code and let them release the gas. Now!
It's not armor the canister.
Why isn't it working?
Maybe the remote's been damaged.
Make it work, or I'll kill you.
There's nothing I can do.
Make it work!
I told you there's nothing I can do!
Jack, can you hear me?
Bill and Lynn listen perturbed. Audrey holds her head in her hands. The lead terrorist, furious, makes a call on his mobile. Erwich answers.
Yes?
We can't arm the canisters.
What is the problem?
Russell says he doesn't know.
You believe him?
I don't know. Should I kill him?
Not until we are sure we have another way to release the gas. Andre thinks he's discovered an alternative. I'll put him on.
Get him in the other room.
The long-haired terrorist hauls Jack's inert body into the guard's office. Erwich at the bike workshop approaches Andre.
Polakoff. Canisters in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Longhair handcuffs Jack to an immovable table.
Okay, I understand.
Trigger mechanism is a wires.
Yeah. Okay.
Just each wire individually.
What's going on?
Andre thinks he may have another way to release the gas.
Bill, Lynn, and Audrey exchange desperate looks. The security guard's monitor shows innocent scenes in the mall. Jack lies unconscious and handcuffed. 2:41. Jack starts to come round. The terrorists work on the canister under instruction from Andre over the phone.
You see the circuit configuration?
Yes, I see it.
Now, move the jumper over. Expose the red and yellow wire.
Hang on, I'm going to put you on speakerphone.
CTU, listen in.
Are you sure the valve can't open without warning? If you make a mistake, it could. So pay attention. Five more splices to go.
Which one now?
The orange wire is next in the sequence. Exactly as before.
Orange?
The white wire and the blue wire need to be connected directly through the circuit board, then into the release valve itself.
Get the masks, we're almost ready.
Jack struggles to free himself.
You'll see three inputs on the bottom left of the circuit board, three outputs on the top right.
Lynn, there is still time to move in and stop them before they murder all those people.
Audrey, we have a directive from the president.
The president's not looking at these children whose death warrant he just signed.
Don't you realize how many more people could die if these men don't lead us to the other 19 canisters?
They could. That's theoretical right now. Those children will die within minutes. Look at them. Look at the monitors.
Audrey, that's enough.
No, it's not. Lynn, you tell me, if you were in Jack's shoes, do you follow through with that order? Stand by and watch as they murder all those people?
This is war. There are going to be casualties. If those are the orders of the president, yes, I would have to.
I hope that's not true.
Okay.
For your sake.
The lead terrorist works deftly at the web of wiring in the base of the canister. McGill sits. Audrey shakes her head.
All right. The wires are together.
Put your mask on. The next pair you splice will open the valve. Go kill Rossler.
Jack hears this order and plays dead. Audrey overhears. Longhair dons his mask and fetches his pistol from his bag. 2:43. The top of the canister slides up. As Longhair aims his pistol, Jack kicks the man's legs spectacularly from under him. The lead man notices, but the canister is already spewing out gas. Jack gets Longhair's gun. He aims for the escaping lead terrorist, Polakoff.
Polakoff!
Jack misses Polakoff, who escapes back out into the mall. Jack takes Longhair's mask and puts it on. He pulls the dead security guard over and fishes out the man's keys. He undoes his handcuffs. Holding his weapon at the ready, he moves cautiously out of the office.
Jack, can you hear me?
Jack goes over to where the canister is spewing gas into the air duct. He wrenches at the wires. The canister closes again.
What's happening, Jack? What's your status?
I managed to stop the flow of gas, but some got into the ventilation system. We need to evacuate the mall now.
What about the terrorists?
One's dead, one escaped. Have Curtis's men start looking for him.
Curtis, this is Buchanan. Move in now.
About time.
Move in. All teams, move in.
Jack moves through a service corridor.
You, up against the wall. I'm a federal agent. Terrorists have released a toxic substance into the ventilation system. You need to evacuate people now. This is not a joke. This is not a robbery or a drill. Do it now!
We have a red alert. Begin evacuation procedures immediately.
Where's the power source of the ventilation system?
It's next to the food court. The control room door's right there.
Get everybody out now!
To the nearest mall exit in orderly fashion. Mall evacuation.
2:45. Shoppers see Jack emerge in his gas mask and panic ensues. Jack jogs through the mall, pistol in hand.
Curtis, is Jack, you copy?
Yeah, Jack, we're closing in on the mall.
I'm going to try and shut down the ventilation system in the mall. I do not have a visual on the hostel. Make sure your men take him alive.
Understood.
In the food court, people are rushing desperately for the exits. Jack pounds up the escalator and runs in search of the control room door. As Jack searches, people begin to show signs of being affected by the gas. Some choke, some are assisted away. One young woman collapses. Jack looks up to see a large air vent. He finds the door and raises his gun to the lock. He enters the ventilation control room. Locating the main switches, he shuts them down one by one. This done, he goes back out into the food court.
Curtis, is Jack. The Syntox nerve gas that escaped has managed to stay in the food court. I got at least 11 people down. I need assistance. I need assistance now.
Got it.
Sweetheart, can you hear me? I want you to hold the mask to your face when I take it off, okay?
With heroic presence of mind, Jack applies the mask to the face of a small girl and, holding his breath, carries her towards the exit.
All right, everyone, masks on. Inject anyone who's down and get them outside as soon as possible.
I need a shot of atropine for a child under 12. Curtis, give me that jacket for her head.
Jack bends over her and desperately feels for a pulse.
I'm losing her!
Jack is supplied with the required syringe, bites off the end, and injects the child in the thigh. He stares intently at her tightly shut eyes.
She's responding. Her pulse is stabilizing.
Jack, we've secured the exits.
We don't have a visual on the other terrorist. If he got out of the mall before we locked down, he may be lost.
And he's our only remaining chance of finding Erwick.
Monitor the tracking device in the remote trigger. The hostile that escaped still had it on him.
Were we?
248.
Jack's right. The signal's moving away from the mall. Looks like he's on foot.
Michaels, Jack and I are going after the remote trigger. You're in charge here. Report directly to Bill Buchanan.
Yes, sir.
Walsh, gather your team. You're with us.
Don't be scared. You're going to be all right. This man's going to take care of you.
Jack leaves the little girl, now reviving, in safe hands, and heads off at speed with Curtis towards the black 4x4. Polakoff vaults over a wall behind the shopping mall and jogs across some grass before jumping back down onto the parking lot. He approaches a parked bronze saloon car and, pulling his pistol, uses it to smash the driver's window. He gets into the car. He wrenches out the hatch covering the ignition mechanism. He hot wires the car. He backs out of the parking space and drives off at speed. 2:49, end of part three. Part four, 2:53. The wild-eyed Polakoff drives at speed. He extricates his mobile and makes a call. Erwick answers.
Yes.
Rossler, or whoever he was, killed Kumar and tried to stop us.
What are you talking about? Why?
I don't know. I managed to activate the valve before I got away. At least some of the gas was released in the mall.
Sure you're not being followed?
Yes. What do you want me to do?
Come back here.
Be there soon.
Erwick ponders. Polakoff checks his rearview mirror. Chloe tracks him on her screen.
He's turning left on Reese.
We're six blocks out.
One moment, please, Mr. McGill. I'll connect you with the president.
Yes?
Mr. President, I know this is not what your order stipulated. That's why I thought it was important to let you know what was happening.
What's happening is I sent you over there to make sure that CTU was running smoothly in a time of crisis, and you seem to be incapable of doing that.
Sir, Bauer refused the order. There was nothing I could do.
Now, I don't want excuses. Just do your job. And if you can't do it, I'll find somebody else who can.
The estimates from the mall are much lower than we originally anticipated. It appears the fatalities will be limited to between 10 and 20 people.
Thank God.
So, what are we telling the media?
Nothing yet. CTU is maintaining a blackout on the ground there until we give them direction on a cover story.
What about the other 19 canisters?
CTU has a terrorist under surveillance as we speak. They believe there's a good chance he'll lead them to Erwick and the rest of the canisters.
All right.
Good. There's something else, sir. Suzanne Cummings has arrived to claim Walt's body. Martha is on her way to speak with her now.
Thank you, Mike.
A dark-haired woman sits dejectedly, her face a blank, in one of the presidential apartments. Martha Logan enters quietly. She closes her eyes as if in anguish at what she now has to do. She moves into the area where the woman is seated.
Suzanne.
Martha sits down beside Suzanne Cummings, from whose eyes tears begin to fall.
I can't believe he's gone. I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry. I should have been with him today.
Honey, don't do that. Don't blame yourself.
He told me to stay in the hotel.
Logan listens at the doorway.
You know how much we love you, honey. No matter what you need, we'll always be here for you.
I just don't understand. This doesn't make any sense.
You were with him today.
Why, Martha? Why in the world would... Well,
do this.
Martha is near tears.
It's so sad.
Walt. Loved this country.
Logan looks relieved.
And he loved you.
Martha leaves Suzanne to her grief. As she approaches the door, she notices Logan standing there and pauses momentarily. He looks beseechingly at her. She turns to face him with an expression of deepest reproach, or maybe self-reproach. She leaves him to his thoughts. Polakoff's hijacked car speeds along and swerves into the forecourt of the bike workshop.
Cross-referencing with the street grid. He's in front of 1136 East Muldaur.
Bill, we're gonna have to hit him hard and fast. Try and stop him from releasing any more Syntox from the canisters.
Agreed.
258.
Set up a perimeter. Begin your approach.
All right, all teams, we're moving in.
Put your gas mask on.
Jack dons his mask. President Logan approaches Mike Novick. Martha escorts Suzanne Cummings from the apartment. The CTU team observe tensely. Polakoff runs into the bike workshop. He looks around, bewildered to discover it empty. Erwich observes through his binoculars from the cab of a large jeep as the CTU 4x4s pull up and the agents, all masked and armed, take positions around the workshop. Erwich gets out his phone.
Team B, take the front entrance off the street. We're taking the side. Go now. Go.
Yes, sir.
Jack moves in, gun drawn.
Yes.
You were followed?
I don't know how.
Doesn't matter. You know what to do.
Yes.
Polakoff puts his gun to his head.
No! Hostile down! I repeat, hostile down!
Airplane!
Curtis, have your men call in now!
Teammate, Team B, report.
Come on, guys, what do you got?
Team Alpha, there's no one here. We're clear.
Place is empty.
Erwich is gone. The canisters are gone. We've got nothing here. Damn it!
Erwich coolly replaces his phone in his pocket and pulls away from the curb. ...3 p.m., the end.